What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
I'm now for our daily tech and business report. Today, we're joined by Bloomberg's Mark Chediak. Mark, PG&E CEO is saying that extra demand for energy from the AI data centers may actually end up lowering the cost of electricity. CEO Patty Poppe spoke with Bloomberg in San Francisco. Mark, that seems counterintuitive. Usually an increase in demand for something might cause prices to go up. So why does she say they will go down?
Hi, Scott. Yes, thanks for having me on. And that is a great question. So the way the PG&E CEO, Patty Poppe, is sort of explaining this is it's sort of like the peanut butter theory of costs, where if you're having additional demand on the system from data centers, it essentially allows PG&E to spread the cost over a wider set of sales. So the cost per unit of electricity actually ends up going down in that case, at least the fixed costs that the company has for maintaining its grid, its infrastructure, its power plants. All of that gets spread over a larger sales base. And in that sense, you have, in their view, an ability to actually lower customers' bills. They estimate that for every gigawatt of additional demand, a gigawatt is about the capacity you would get from a nuclear power plant. For every gigawatt of additional demand, you would see a 1% reduction in customer bills.
I guess PG&E customers, which would be most of us, might say they'll believe it when they see it. I mean, prices, your electricity prices in California are higher than in much of the country. What else are they doing, allegedly, to reduce rates even more?
That's right. And you're absolutely correct. Electricity prices for PG&E have actually doubled over the past 10 years. Now, PG&E says that they are instituting a rate decrease for this year, and that will that decrease, along with some others, essentially means that customer bills are going to be down about 11% compared to 2024. However, given that rates have gone up so much up to that point, I think it's hard for a lot of customers to see that as a lot of relief. The PG&E also says that they are focused on making their operations more efficient, so reducing costs there. And like they said, they think this additional demand will also help reduce rates.
It is an election year, and so PG&E is always in the crosshair. This year being no exception. And also, we had that big blackout in San Francisco where you had the local politicians saying the city should take over the infrastructure in the city. Did she address that? And how do they defend themselves against the calls to either break them up or take over parts of the utility?
Yeah, she did address that, and she basically said that she thinks the best way for PG&E to defend themselves or show that they are the right utility for San Francisco is to lower bills and provide reliability. They did acknowledge that there was an issue over the holiday break. They had a fire at a substation that resulted in a pretty widespread power outage. She said that they are still investigating the cause of that, but their contention is if they continue to focus on keeping bills at least steady or lower and try to provide as reliable service as possible, that they think that they can continue to at least have the support of enough customers that they'll be considered the provider of choice for the city.
Mark, thank you. That is Bloomberg's Mark Chediak, and you can hear our tech and business report weekdays, 12:30 p.m. on KCBS. And for more, tune into Bloomberg Technology weekdays at 8 a.m.
I'm Josh Scherer.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich
free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.